And we are live today, the 28th of July. One day before your birthday, Isma. You reach the dizzy heights of 64, yeah?
A great number, yeah?
It is. It's the best number. I'm already there, yeah? Life begins at 64, they say. But there you go.
But I have been observing, I think it's a global phenomenon. We can see more elder people than children, yeah, in many countries.
Well, I don't know about children, but I would love to be in a environment where people are younger. I mean, when you know, when I look around here where I live, we're all fairly old. When I go down to Strasbourg, you get younger people. I just find it more invigorating and interesting and good fun than hanging around with, you know, ancient fossils like you and I are. Well, like I am. You're still a young whippersnapper. Yeah. But,
they are more energetic, they are more beautiful, yeah. Yeah. And they dream more than us. Yeah. I think they have their own words, because for young people almost everything is possible.
Yep. They have the world is their oyster, but come on, we still have, you know, when I look at my mother, I think she's a touch older than your mother, 88. My mother is 88. She's still going strong. So, you know, if that is something to go by, then I've still got a good run ahead of me. Anyway, so, Isma. Today, we are going to make you think and use your imagination. And
your question is about what holiday I would like to have, yeah?
Either that, or if you could create a totally new appliance or gadget, what problem would it solve? One of the two. So holiday, not as in vacation to go somewhere, but a public holiday to celebrate something. So if you were the president of the Federal Republic of Brazil, and you could decree a holiday and say, to every year we are going to celebrate this, or every month or every day or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I have an idea. I would create a holiday, maybe not only one day, but three days altogether, and everyone would be obliged to stay alone, stay away from their friends and family. It could be in a desert place like a mountain, or traveling alone, because I think when we are alone, we are really what we are, because we have time and the opportunity to observe more around us, to think about ourselves, to think about the world. Something similar that I did the last 9 days. And I think it's a great opportunity to reflect about our lives.
Okay, so let's just repeat that. You would declare a 3-day holiday where it is mandatory that everybody has to spend 3 days by themselves away from their families and friends
Family and friends and work,
and work.
acquaintance, any kind of acquaintances.
Okay, so let's build some caveats into this. What about young mothers?
In this case, it's necessary to have some exceptions, yeah?
Okay.
Even for early children, for example, 2, 3 year old children, they can be 3 days alone, yeah? If not, they will die.
Okay, so any child under a certain age,
We
maybe, yeah.
can restrict this holiday for people over 18, yeah?
Okay. All right. So just to repeat, everybody over 18 must spend 3 days away from family and friends, also away from their home, also.
Their city.
See? Okay. What are we going to call this day or these days?
You can say self day.
Self days.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you said this a little bit at the beginning, and you had this experience just a few days ago. We'll come to that in a minute, but can you repeat why this 3 day self day holiday?
Can you say again, please?
Why would you impose this holiday, self day, three self days?
I believe that when we are outside our comfort zone, we are more human. We observe more people and we put ourselves in their shoes.
Okay, interesting. This is an.
And we can see that we aren't exactly what we think that we are. We are. For
Okay.
example, we aren't so important and we don't have control the most of things around us. And when we are far from our environment, these kind of things happens less and less. And we can see that our values sometimes is different from other people. We eat in a different way, we behave in a different way when if you compare with others. For example, I spent 3 days in Bolivia, near to Bolivia and Brazil border, and I can observe that Bolivian people they don't suffer so much influence, external influence.
Okay.
Of course, they suffer, but not so many as Brazilian people, in my opinion. They don't follow so much American culture because most of Bolivians are from indigenous people. And Bolivia is much poorer than Brazil, but I think they have a different way of living.
Okay. Why did you go on this trip?
Probably I told you that I take part in a group to speak Spanish, but it's not a Spanish class, just to talk. I haven't, till now, I haven't studied Spanish grammar. And we say, some of us Brazilians say that we don't speak Spanish. We say that we speak Portuñol. It's a mixing of Portuguese and Spanish because, as far as I know, Spanish and Portuguese are two languages are so close one to other. And even some people say that Portuguese speakers understand better Spanish speaker than the opposite. I don't know if it's true because I speak Portuguese. And for reading, for people who have students to us to certain level, in Portuguese, it's possible to read in Spanish. I don't know if the opposite happened. And the first time I have contact with Spanish written Spanish language was when I was 19. I bought a comics book and I could read it. Maybe 2 years or 3 years after I read the New Testament in Spanish. And at that time, I even didn't have a Spanish dictionary. And you know that I like a lot Canada and Europe, as I would like to travel, and it wasn't possible to go to any of this place. And even I had a plan to go to the north of Brazil, Manaus, where Lisa lives. But the plane ticket was very expensive. I would say maybe a little less than 1,000 euros round trip.
Really?
Yeah, probably 900 euros.
From Campo Grande to Manaus.
Yeah, I have
Wow.
an idea to go from my city by bus, but on Bolivian territory by bus till I get the north of Brazil. But I found that it's not possible. There isn't a road. I had to go to La Paz, one of Bolivian capital, and I had to travel in a triangle, to go to almost to the Pacific Ocean, then I go to the Eastern world again. It was very long. Then I quitted and I decided to stay some days at the first Bolivian cities. They are a small city. One ha they have around 20,000 people.
All right. So you said at the beginning of this that to do this 3 day, so these three self days, it would be a good experience. You leave your friends and your family behind. It would be a good experience because it takes you out of your comfort zone. So you went to Bolivia, to the other side of the border, which, if I understand, is about 3 and a half hours away from your city. How did this trip take you out of your comfort zone?
Sorry, I think I didn't understand well your question.
Okay, so you said it is good for people to leave their comfort zone as part of this three self-day holiday. You did that. You left your mother behind and you traveled to Bolivia. How did this journey, this trip to Bolivia, take you out of your comfort zone?
For example, here in Brazil, the typical breakfast, I would say for more the basic social level, the poorer people, they eat just bread with butter and milk with coffee. Is the traditional Brazilian breakfast. But at home, we have I don't drink coffee usually, but we have bread, cheese, we have and cereal and fruits. And in Bolivia, I look for a bakery to have at least some bread with cheese or butter and milk of coffee, and they don't have. Yeah, they have soup at 8 a.m. They eaten around the same time, 8 a.m. and their food is completely different. And I went to a reception hotel I was, and the most similar thing I had was a cup of tea and something that it's fried. For example, I don't like to eat something that fried in the breakfast. And for me, it was completely different.
Okay. So what did you eat for breakfast?
In this day, yes, I had a cup of tea
Tea.
and two pieces of a kind of fried dough.
Fried dough. So
Yeah.
bread put into a frying pan and fried, yeah, in
No,
so
it's like something made of wheat, and they
okay.
put meat or cheese inside. They close and put on the hot oil to fry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not something unusual for me. And
All right. How did you So it was an unusual experience for you. How did you react to this? What were you thinking? What were you anticipating? Were you looking forward? Were you going to enjoy this different breakfast? Or did you say, "Ooh, I don't want it. I would rather not eat anything." How did you react and what was going through your head?
At the first day, as I didn't have anything to eat rather than the fried dough, I ate two
Two pieces, yeah.
dough and a cup of tea. That's what I had. And the next day, as I didn't want to eat the same, I bought some fruits. And to have lunch, it's a little not so different, but we can observe it's different from Brazil. Yeah. And I think to have meals on Bolivia, it's the most difficult part for me as a Brazilian person.
Okay. Was it a positive difference? When you reflect on it now, when you think back to this trip, do you come out saying it was different, but it was good, or you didn't, or did you not like it? How would you reflect on that?
Probably I will answer with a cliche that not everyone is the same and not every place is the same. They are different. They have different culture, and as we said many times, in Rome we have behaved as a Roman.
Yes, but in Rome, do as the Romans do.
As much as possible, yeah.
Yes, as much as possible. So when in Bolivia, do as the Bolivians do. Okay, so your first breakfast already showed you that things are different. You were beginning to move out of your comfort zone. What else happened where you thought, whoops, this is different to home. This is different to what I'm used to. What else happened?
I have to think, what are you do to manage some other days?
So you had a lot of time at your disposal. You were out of your routine. And you had to all of a sudden think, what am I going to do? Okay, so how did you fill your days, and what did you decide what it is you're going to do?
Because I have traveled to Bolivia in 2017, 8 years ago, but I went to bigger city, and at the hotels the breakfast was almost the same that we have in Brazil. Then I haven't observed this difference, but in a small village it's completely different because they follow their culture.
Okay.
It was different to some other trip I had.
All right. So that was the breakfast, but maybe we should look at this from a different angle. Why did you choose to go to Bolivia? Did you just want to practice your Spanish, or what was the reason?
I don't know why, because sometimes I say here to you that Brazil is very disorganized, and Bolivia it's a little more disorganized than Brazil. But I don't know why. I like Bolivia. I like Chile, Peru, Colombia. I stay there just a little. But I think every place they have differences, and I like this kind of things to observe different cultures, different way of living, how people act with us, and something else that I observed. And I think it's another cliche. Wherever we go, we find good and bad people. N not exactly about loss, but how people act with us. For example, it's possible to find Brazilian people that won't give you the real information you need. And of course, you find people that provide the information you need. And there is the same. Whatever I visited, I found people that helped me a lot with information, and people that didn't give me attention. And in Bolivia was the same.
Okay.
And they don't, in general, they don't know much about their city. For example, I read on internet that there was a Mennonites. Do you know this word, Mennonite?
Mennonite is a religious group.
Mennonite Museum there. I
Yes.
asked for some people, and no one know about that. But the information on internet was wrong. Wasn't in that city. And I asked about another kind of museum, and someone told me that there wasn't. And the internet said that there was another kind of museum, and it wasn't true. And if you asked some people, what's the name of this street? Most people, they don't know even the name of the street they are. Even if they work in that city, they don't know the name of the city. That's interesting.
It is a common phenomenon, and I think we all suffer from the same problem, because one explanation for this could be that we could go and explore something or learn something, but we are so busy in our own routines that we say, ah, tomorrow is another day, it can wait until later. And it happened to me yesterday. I was driving past a place, and the car in front of me turned left to drive to this tiny, tiny little village. And I have always wondered what it's like in this village. I mean, it's just a handful of houses, and you would ignore it. You just drive past because, well, you think it is like everywhere else. And I continued driving because I was tired and I wanted to get home. But I also made the thought, I thought that, well, the village will be there in the future, and I can always visit it if I want to. And I probably won't. So we take a lot, and I think the message here is we take a lot for granted that it will be there in the future, and we can visit this in the future. I lived in London and in England for 6 or 7 years. It wasn't until I lived in Germany, after having left England, that I went to the British Museum in London, and only because my daughter wanted to see a particular exhibition, and she traveled from Dublin to London. I traveled from Germany to London, and we went to see this exhibition together. It was, one of these things. Ah, tomorrow, the British Museum, it'll be there sometime in the future. So I can understand that people don't pay attention to their surroundings. That is clear.
May I tell you another story?
Of course, as long as you explain how it took you out of your comfort zone and what you learned from this, go ahead.
I spent almost a whole morning trying to visit a place with caves. The name is Las Cuevas de Motocucito. Almost nobody know how to get there. I asked many people, oh, there you can find some van that take you there. In some other place you can find some tax. And something similar to that. I went to a transport cooperative. He told me, oh, you have to go to a bus terminal, and there you have some van or bus that will take you there. Is the terminal very far from here? Oh, no, maybe 5 blocks. I confirmed. Less than a kilometer? Yes. I walked maybe 3 kilometers. The girl said that it was less than one. It was a street, not asphalted, and there was must a lot of dust. When pass a car, it was terrible. Over me, my running shoes got very dirty. I would say that maybe almost 1 hour I got there, the bus terminal, and I asked many people, how can I visit the caves of Las Cuevas de Motocucito? Oh no, it's not here. No, it's there. I go there. No, it's not here. It's there. Even people who works at the bus terminal, they don't have information to give you. And the end of the story, I didn't find any means of transportation to go to visit the Las Cuevas de Motocucito. At the end, I think there isn't Europe, at least I haven't seen when I've been there. Moto tax. It's a tax on a motorcycle. I think
Okay.
there isn't in
It depends.
Europe.
It depends from country to country. I think in Germany, yes.
Yeah.
France, no. And what the English do, I don't know. But yes, go ahead.
And I asked him, can you take me to the Las Cuevas to the Motocucito? Oh, the guy lives there. He's a Bolivian person. Oh, I don't know where is it, where it is. I can't take you there. Okay. I have to quit it, and I couldn't visit Las Cuevas de Motocucito. Because people don't know how to give you information, and they live there.
Were you? I suppose you were disappointed.
Yeah, in many situations I got disappointed, but I have to understand because I'm not the best person in the world. I can say that I'm better than them because I act in a different way. Because probably they don't need to know how to get to the Las Cuevas de Motocucito because they never been there. They don't have interest to visit the caves. It was my interest, not them.
Do you think that we should, in your three self day, move away from your friends and family holiday? That people should be forced to stay within maybe a 50-kilometer radius of where they live, so that they get to know their own environment and their own surroundings better, so that if I were to come to this Bolivian town and ask the same question, I would get an answer. You go there, 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 and it's a correct answer, and I don't have any unpleasant experience.
But that's what I told you, what happened with me in Bolivia. It's not an exclusivity from Bolivian people because after that, I came back to Brazil and stayed 4 days where I served the Brazilian Navy. And The Brazilian Navy didn't allow me to visit the military place
Complex.
that I worked for 15 months. I have to get an appointment to visit there.
So you
And I told the responsible at that moment, oh, I worked here 15 months there. I went to Brazilian Air Force and I worked there for 32 days or years. It's not possible to visit here. No, it's not possible.
why do you find that so strange? I mean, it is a military installation. Anybody could walk up to the gate and say, I worked here and I've been here and I've done that. And in this day and age of threats and terrorism and so on, the person at the gate was following orders. He has the orders, do not let strangers into the onto the base. And for him, you were a stranger.
Of course, that guy was following orders, but I have my document saying that I have worked for Brazilian Force. They can see my knapsack, and probably they can order someone to follow me. I think it was strange, weird, because I'm not a common Brazilian citizen. I worked 33 days for Brazilian military forces.
33 years, yeah, for the Brazilian military.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the same happened in some other cities. After that, I visited two more Brazilian cities, and I read some place to visit, and people don't know how to get there. And in one, a person wants to sell me a ticket to visit a point that two different rivers, one is clear and another is dark, when they meet each other.
That's
And
interesting.
the woman wanted to sell me the ticket to visit this place. And I asked her, how do I get there? No, you have to get someone to leave you there. But don't you have a service to take me to there? No, I don't have.
Okay.
Luckily, I didn't buy the ticket because I didn't find a way to get there.
Okay, so let's tie this back to the original situation. Everybody should take 3 days a year, self days, to leave their friends and family, to put themselves in a situation that they are not accustomed to. You experience something similar. You went to Bolivia for a few days and you had a different breakfast. You wanted to see some sights that you couldn't because nobody knew where they were or sent you in a completely different direction. You returned to Brazil and you went to the military base that you had once spent some time on, and you became out surprised that despite your long track record with the Brazilian military, with the Brazilian Air Force, they did not let you on the base. as a veteran, as a person with your ID, with all the documentation that they did not let you in into the base, and you were somewhat, I think, putting it mildly, somewhat surprised, if not irritated by this. How do these stories, these experiences, tie to your 3 self-day holiday? And assuming that the person that did not let you in on the military base would also have to do this, because this is a Brazilian holiday, it does not apply to Bolivia, would also have to do this. How would a 3 day self or 3 self days change your experience, which was not positive the way you are describing them?
That I'm a simple person, just one more person in the world, and people doesn't matter with me, my interest, they are interested in their lives, and we don't respect in general, we don't respect each other, and I think in a maybe in a single word, we are very selfish. Not referring to cultural difference, I think about behavior. And some people, they are interested even in their surroundings. And I don't understand how people don't even know some things about where they live. Maybe it means that we can ask. Beside all different individual difference, are we living? Are you taking advantage of our environment? Are you respecting and considering people around us, or just me is the center of the universe and everything and everyone else doesn't matter to me.
You are a person who, for several reasons, cannot travel very much. And the last time we talked about you traveling, and it was a long distance, was when you went to the party conference of your political party, of which you are a member, and you traveled for a week to São Paulo. You met Rosie there as well. And when we spoke, you were in your hotel room. And when we spoke, I did not recognize the Isma that I had speaking with several years before. Because you were really excited, you felt alive, you were bouncing off the walls, you were a completely different person to the usual
I
Isma.
was very excited.
You were very, very excited, exactly. Did you have the same level of excitement on this trip to Bolivia and through other parts of Brazil?
I suppose that in the last trip to São Paulo, I was more joyful, but I think that in this trip, had opportunity to observe more different things, more different behaviors, and it gave me more reflection about human beings and different cultures. And even in Brazil, people are from a city to another, they behave in a different way. And I have been using this word many times here, cliché. And another one, every person is a micro universe. It's in a in a rough idea, I would say that if it were possible, we shouldn't compare one person to another, because we just look like the same, but we aren't. We are completely different.
Luckily so.
We expect that other people in general do and behave the same or similar to us, but they are completely different. How can I expect that other behave similarly to me? It's impossible. But
It really depends on the situation. So I'm beginning to understand where you are coming from on this 3 day self or 3 self days holiday. How would you actually enforce this? How would you make people do this? Because what you are basically telling us is that people don't know their surroundings, they are selfish, they may or may not be helpful. They need to learn more about themselves and how they react to other people. And you, as the president of Brazil, are going to decree that every person should go on a 3 day self-discovery or self-day holiday. How do you want this documented or handled so that people actually learn something from being out of their comfort zones? Because it's one thing to say, oh, I'm going to go do something and I'm out of my comfort zone. So a very rich person could live in a favela, and a favela person could live in the rich person's environment. They may or may not learn something about this. But I think for the purpose of the way you see it, it somehow has to be documented or recorded that the person has learned something from his 3 self days away from friends and family. So how do you want to enforce this?
Of course, as I said, everyone of us is a individual micro universe. We can't expect the same result, the same reflection from everyone. But I think the most interesting that if for those who can reflect that if I meet someone on my way and he helps me, it's a gift. It's not his obligation to help me. And if someone help me, I should be very thankful. And if someone doesn't help me, I should be comprehensive. And probably, this reflection can make us more intolerant when we see something that it's not a satisfaction for us. I'm not saying about the religious side of this kind of reflection, but because I'm not a religious person.
Let me take you to China. Now, what I'm going to say, I don't have a complete understanding of it, so this is my disclaimer. But as far as I am aware, the Chinese have a point system depending on how good a citizen you are or not. And if you do certain things, you get positive things, you get points, sort of like, paying your bills on time and doing some civic work or something like that. And if you do something negative, whatever that is defined as, and however it is monitored, that I do not know. But if you do something negative, from a society point of view, you lose points. And with these points come certain privileges. So you can apply for a passport if you have so many points. So that means you can travel abroad. You can live in a better quality housing if you have so many points. And so it goes up and down. Do you think that is something that might help attitudes and the way people behave in Brazil or in Bolivia, as you experienced it, or something like that?
It's very controversial. First, because I think complete freedom doesn't exist. Other place. Probably it should be interesting to track criminal people or bad people that have bad behavior, that offended or making bad things for others. But for people in general, probably they always live with afraid of everything, of everyone that approach them. I don't know if this kind of system will make a better society, or in
Well,
a individual way to make better individuals.
from our democratic perspective, that, of course, we would have problems with this because you live in a democracy in Brazil. It may not be as good as you want it to be, but it is fundamentally a democracy. In Europe, we have democracies, and it would go against our democratic instincts to be controlled by the state on how we behave. In a different environment, like the People's Republic of China, where they are used to this kind of control, they don't think twice about it. What I'm trying to figure out is it really enough for a person who goes on his 3-day self days and is out of his comfort zone and experiences things that he normally doesn't experience, and it's neither good nor bad, it is what it is, that they really come away with lessons learned in order to become a better person?
Not necessarily, yeah. For example, I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe sometimes I think I am a better person today, but how can I prove that?
Exactly.
Did you understand?
You cut out. I didn't actually physically hear you. The line got broken.
The result of these free self days doesn't exactly make people better because I'm not sure that's a better person today than I was 3 years ago. Even I think I am, how can I prove that I'm better than I was?
Well, this is my question, because this is the objective of the exercise, based on your experience traveling to Bolivia. Because you could basically say, why should I travel? Why don't I just stay at home in my own environment and not worry about what other people do and say and think and eat and what else they do in their lives? Because it's
And I have a reflection about traveling. I'd say that probably 20 years ago, Brazilian people traveled less than today. And some people don't like to travel. They travel to say that they visit some specific place. Maybe a fashion beach or a fashion city or country, and some want to travel to post photos on social media. In 2016, I went to Caribbean Sea in a cruise ship, the ship it started from Cartagena, and we visited probably four countries like Venezuela, Aruba, Curaçao, and Panama. And when we were in the middle of the trip, my friend told me, "Oh, I'm very homesick. I would like to be at home." Travel. Oh, I like to travel, but I'd like to be at home now. I told her, "You don't like to travel. We are here just for 3 or 4 days, and you would like to be at home. You don't like to travel. Why do you travel?" But she was a university.
We have another interruption here.
Has visited some place and she had some photo to have some subjects to tell about her vacation. In my opinion, he was traveling like an obligation.
Okay. I have a different idea. Since we can't really find a way to make your 3 self-days work without some sort of control mechanism or lessons learned mechanism. And if 220 million people spent 3 days doing their self-discovery, day away from friends and family, I think the economic consequence for the country would be enormous. So, how about the following suggestion? If people were to spend 3 days doing a different job that is totally different to the one they normally do,
A different job in a different place.
a different job in a different place. So, let us say, because the community knows her, Rosie would spend 3 days working in a completely different environment. And that person that she is replacing does Rosie's job and inspects schools and fills out all the reports and learns about this. And the two would not actually have any related connection. So the person doing Rosie's job could work in a shop and sell bread. So she has no idea about education and education standards and imposing these standards in schools amongst teachers. And Rosie probably would know the bakery from a customer's point of view, but not from the person standing behind the counter. So what would you say to this suggestion that people go and do something totally different in a different city work-wise? They get the same pay, they get the pay of a baker, and the baker or the shop assistant would get Rosie's pay for that 3 days. It might be more, it might be less, but they live in this environment and work in this environment for 3 days. How about that?
In a practical way, even the one or other suggestion will make good results. Because, for example, to work 3 days in a different activity, it's not possible to produce something good because you need some time to learn how to work in a different activity. Could I?
That is the comfort zone.
But in terms of productivity, I think it wouldn't make a difference. For example, I have no experience of planting rice, and probably in 3 days it's possible to learn how to plant rice, but some details I think it's not possible. For example, oh, this kind of soil is not good for rice, this distance is not appropriate, or this kind of relief, it's not good for rice. Maybe it's good for another plant. Of course, we are talking about imagination, yeah? To make people better, I think it can achieve some different result that if people stayed at the same place, the same work. I think it would be positive in this way, but in terms of productivity, I think it wouldn't make any difference. And
No.
of course, I suggest that the end of the 3 self-days holiday, it's just necessary to produce a report and to exchange to the report with some, maybe at least 3 people around them. Because if I just observe or write or don't write something, you can share with some other people your experience.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because last Thursday, in our segment Lunch with Janita and Frank, one member of this group who is a retired professor from who lives in London, a very, very intelligent person who plays with artificial intelligence and
I think it's the same that it took part one day that I took part as well. Yeah, Andrews.
possibly, but this what I'm saying was last Thursday. And I can't remember the context, but he said that people, before they get their pension, before they retire, they should write down what it is they learnt. Lessons learned, and that would qualify maybe to a certain degree. I would qualify that person to receive the pension, or some of it, or part of it, or whatever. Yeah, again, a lot of imagination there. So let us say that you go on your 3 self days, and you have to document this. You have to write a report. A lot of paper and a lot of computer files are going to be stored somewhere. So if people write their reports, who is going to do what with this information?
What people will do with these reports?
Yeah,
Okay.
so I would write my 3-day report. I did this, that, and the other. And then this document has to go somewhere, and something has to happen with it, and somebody has to process it. So, what would happen with my document?
I know many people, and I put aside people who studied law. Except me, I don't know anyone that have read Brazilian Constitution till now. And I think it's very important to read your country constitution. And probably it will be an useful collection of reports. Because people don't have energy or disposition or time to read this kind of things.
Yeah, but I mean, there are 220 million Brazilians. Let us say that 150 million of them are adults. That is 100, well, let's narrow it down. Let's say you have 100 million documents every year. I mean, that is an amount of information that nobody can process. Or experiences that nobody could process. So, I mean, what are we going to do with all this stuff?
Then we go back to some sentence ago. It's just a suggestion, a dream, because it's not something that can be real, yeah?
That's a good answer. Okay, so nevertheless, you did this comfort zone trip, and to finish this discussion, Isma, what is the the biggest takeaway that you have out of this trip and out of our discussion? What did you learn about yourself and your environment? What would you write in your report?
The city where is the naval base is 6 kilometer far from the other city that's a little bigger. Both close to Brazil and Bolivian borders. Came back to the biggest city from the city from the naval base, and they have some specific time of bus, and the bus that I want to take it was 5 past 3 p.m. A girl and I was in a bus stop, and the bus passed and didn't stop for us. The next bus would be 1 hour and a half after. Why did that man didn't stop for us? Saying that, knowing that the next bus will be 1 hour and a half after. Why?
That question will remain unanswered, but how does this help you with your report, and how does this help anybody reading this report?
We have no answer for that, but it's just something that I forgot
To mention.
to tell you, and I think it was interesting. But once I read that on a trip is just the circumstance that you spend money and you get richer. But if I get richer after each trip I take, what are you do with this richness?
This wealth, what are you going to do with all this wealth?
Yeah. What's the practical way of to get wealth after a trip? Probably it would be a question that my mom will ask, because my mom is very practical. It will give me more money, or what I will have, what advantage what I will have with that. If there is no advantage, it's not for my mom.
Well, let's put it this way. You spent some time away. You visited another country. You visited other parts of Brazil. You went back to a place that you worked for a long time. How has this experience enriched your life? And what can I, who lives and works thousands and thousands of kilometers away from your environment, what can I do with your story? How does that help me?
But the big lesson, of course, I said many things that I think I've learned it, but I can summarize. Don't complain so much about your country organization. For sure exists a country that is more disorganized than yours. But it doesn't happen that those people are less satisfied with their lives. I don't know. Because each one of us establish some level of satisfaction or our goals, because it's something specific from every person.
I think to close this discussion, let me quote somebody. When I was a kid, I used to listen to an American radio program called American Top 40, and it was presented by a DJ called Casey Kasem. And every week, he closed the show with this following sentence. He always said, "Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars." And I think maybe the answer to this whole
Can you repeat it? Feet your
keep your feet on the
on the
ground
ground.
and keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that sums it all up. Isma, interesting holiday. Not quite sure how it will work and how you can implement it, but as we said, we have to use our imagination. And you certainly did that, and you gave us all a life lesson, a little bit of insight into a trip of yours that all put this into a context. I'm going to press the stop record button. Thank you very much for this unusual holiday that you propose, at least for 220 million people in Brazil.
I said many things and concluded nothing, yeah?
Voilà. And what do we learn from that? Yeah.
Probably, in theory, life is much easier than the reality, yeah?
Voilà. Okay. Thank you very much, Isma.